Hey everyone, this is your boy Daily News from the Real Dream Podcast. On behalf of Duke Mailman and I, we want to thank all of you guys for listening to us and supporting us. If you like what you hear, please follow us on our social media pages. We're at The Real Dream Podcast on Facebook. We're at TRDcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if that's not enough for you, look us up on Linktree at linktree.com/TRDcast. Thank you all for the support and enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Real Dream Podcast. I'm your host, Daily News. We're back, man, with my boy, Duke. How you doing today, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. We got a special guest in the building, but before we get to it, you know what I mean? First, welcome back. It's been a little bit. I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to pump some episodes out. What about you, man?
Yeah, it's exciting. We'll see how it goes. And, you know, different format. We're trying something a little bit different, so hopefully everybody likes it.
Yeah, man. So first things first, for our episodes, man, we're going to get back to some of the founding principles of the Real Dream Podcast, realizing our dreams and making them a reality. And so we're just going to bring some guests onto the show a little bit more often than we have in previous episodes and talk about how they realize their dreams. And you know what I mean? Just see if we can pick the knowledge of the people who have done what we aspire to do. First guest in the building, Josh Shaver. Man, how you doing today, buddy? What's going on?
Man, I'm enjoying life, man. Every day on earth is another day that I'm blessed with. Not a whole lot going on today. We got some birthday parties tomorrow, so we just kind of relax until we get bombarded tomorrow. We got two of them back to back, man.
Oh, man, that's rough. That's rough. The kids, man?
What's up?
Is it your kids' birthdays?
No, man. It's my godchild. One's my godchild and one's a nephew.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That's what's up. Just make sure homie the clown ain't there. Might be some issues.
For sure, man. So, yeah, man. So we brought you onto the podcast. And to our listeners who don't know, Josh has started his own microgreen business, man. And for those of people who don't know on the podcast or who are listening, can you explain what microgreens are?
Yes, absolutely, man. Microgreens are the adolescent versions of most of the vegetables you guys already eat. So they get confused a lot of the times with sprouts, and sprouts is a younger version of microgreens. So if you can imagine, you know, the full-grown vegetable and sprouts, they're somewhere in between. Still a younger age, a lot younger age. We try to harvest normally, depending on the crop, anywhere from day five to maybe 2 weeks tops.
Yeah, that's what's up. And then they're more nutritious than the typical crops, right? As far as the adolescent ones.
Yeah, absolutely, man. If this is backed by research too, guys. So there was a college, I can't remember the name of the college, but I was actually just looking at the article the other night, and up to 40 times more nutrient dense than their full grown versions, right? And now that's going to be, you know, varied across all of the crops. You know, some crops might have a little less, some crops might have a little more. But they definitely they're superfoods.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So cool. All right. How did you get started in this?
So my initial story with this is we had started a garden back in 2019. My wife really started it. I was working offshore at the time, and I had gotten a management job. So now we're into 2020, and we're up near, I'd say, late March, early April 2020, and COVID come through, you know, and totally decimated our office. We went from 24 people all the way down to 6 people, and they booted me out of a management job back into a field job. Which is cool. I mean, that's the name of the game. So now, being that I'm, you know, placed back in the field, I know there's no work just because I was in a management spot 2 weeks ago. I seen numbers, and I'm a very numbers driven guy. So I'm outside looking at my garden and all the beautiful crops we had produced. We gave them all away, And we grew stuff like tomatoes, zucchini, cucumbers, onions, potatoes. We gave all of it away, friends and family, you know. So I'm just brainstorming, you know, how can I make money out of this? How can I do that? But I'm not trying to wait, you know, 3-4 months, because I know we had to wait a long time for the tomatoes and the peas and all that stuff to grow. Mm-hmm. So I'm just brainstorming. I Google searched up, you know, fast growing crop or something like that. And long story short, bro, come out of microgreens, and I started 3 months of research before I even bought the first seeds. And that's what did it for me. What really drove me over the cliff, they got a kid in Miami that he's got a YouTube channel. I don't remember it, man, at all. It was like one of the videos I seen this. This was the last video I watched about it. I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. He's doing $200,000 a year just selling to restaurants in the area. So,
oh, wow.
And this was, you know, pre-pandemic. So I'm sure it's changed a little bit. I'm sure the landscape, you know, shifted quite a bunch during COVID. But still, I'm a numbers-driven guy, and I see the potential there.
Yeah, man. It's awesome to see that, like, you've kind of grown this entire business, you know, just outside your house, man. And it's cool because, like, if you want to throw out your TikTok handle, because that's how I found you.
Yeah, dog. Bagel Finagle, man. Check me out. Bagel just cost $235,000, something like that, man.
Yeah. And so it's cool that, like, you kind of have it's a co-project between you and your wife. So your wife helps you with this business as well, right?
Yeah, 100%, bro. And matter of fact, you know, since I had gotten shifted from my management job back into the field, I've since left that company. But during that transition to where I was, you know, making that transition, I couldn't dedicate a whole lot of time to the grow. So my wife, she was a school nurse at the time. We started making enough money here to justify her, you know, wanting to run this full time. So that was a no brainer in my situation, you know.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. I'm sure that, like, helps out with the family, right? You know, you don't have to worry about work schedules, kids getting sitters and things like that.
Yeah, no doubt, man. My youngest one at the time, she was always doing soccer. The oldest one was doing volleyball. So there was always, you know, that worry when she was working, you know, am I going to get the kids on time? So that was definitely a relief.
Yeah.
All right. So I got a question for you too. More about your mental mind frame going into that. Cause a lot of reasons why people don't start small businesses because they lack that confidence to get over that hump, to go ahead and put themselves out there to try to do that. How did you get past that? How did you and your wife get past that? Like, to be like, you know what? Fuck it. We just going to go out. We're going to do this shit. We're going to be successful.
Yeah, man. There's definitely a mental barrier there. That's probably one of the most commonly asked, other than who do I sell to, is like, how do I start? And my answer, bro, is just start. Just put your hands in the soil. Just grow something. For me, it was a combination of a lot of things. So I had faith in my research, right? I told y'all I'm a numbers-backed guy. I had mm-hmm. faith in the numbers, and I was confident. And out of that confidence, I was able to, you know, kind of reflect that, you know, that I know my product, I believe in my product, and it was simple as that. And not, you know, when we first started, our labels were small, two-inch by two-inch labels. And we just don't be scared to evolve, you know. So we definitely did some changing along the way. But the main thing, guys, just start. That's it.
Okay. So, man, like, that's awesome. How, I think when it comes to starting your own business, when becoming an entrepreneur, man, what is, like, in your experience, have been the biggest obstacle that's like, I didn't realize this was coming, I had to overcome in order to be successful?
Man, this is a good question, dude. I don't know. We're going to have to come back to that one.
Yeah,
That is really, I've never been asked that. The first thing that just comes to my mind, I'm going to just run with that, is prior to this business, I was kind of, I call myself, you know, recluse, right? I don't go out. I don't go party. You know, I'm a family man. I got kids. I got a wife. I got a dog. So I'm here. I'm home a lot, especially when I'm not working. Just, you know, doing the family life. So for me to have to break down that barrier and be able to network with total strangers, you know, that was definitely an obstacle that I had to overcome and learn quick on my feet. Right. We're a species that if we don't adapt, we die. So throughout whole, you know, the history of evolution, there's been small time frames to where we had to adapt, you know, and that's why we're here. And that's the same thing in business, people. So if you don't adapt your business to the certain situation, it's going to die.
Yeah, I like that. If you don't adapt, you die. I like that.
Yeah.
Duke, you got any questions?
Well, I mean, let's get to the nitty gritty of it. I watched some of your videos. You're talking about you can make at bare minimum $500 a week. From where you started to where you are now, what are you looking at yearly or monthly, whichever you want to break down your business, whatever you want to share with us is cool.
Yeah, let me toss this, bring this down a little bit more. This rack behind me, it is a five-tier rack, 48 inches wide and about 6 feet tall. But it's got five tiers that I'm able to hang lights on and get usage out of. The top tier that we see up here, if you notice, there's no lights above it. So that can be used for like blackout or germination periods of the crop. So my numbers, when I say, you know, minimum $500, $600 a week, that's just off of this one rack. Right in this room, I got five more racks in front of me. Now there's smaller racks, but still, that's just numbers off of this one rack. A good estimate for crops out of the 10 by 20 tray that we use here. And this is one of them. This is a 10 by 20 tray. This is a 1-inch tray. We also have 2-inch trays. But you could get anywhere from $25, $30 average. And I've actually, out of something I sell a lot of, you know, I normally get close to $50 average out of a tray. Depending on what crop. So just running that math, you know, $25, $30 across four trays wide, five levels down, that's 20 trays. So that's anywhere from $500, $600 on up, bare minimum. That's where my math is. Now, where we do as a company today, we actually sold in August. So we sold our client list in August. We built it up the past 2 years. We built it up for 14 months, and any time that I had free time, guys, and this is where it's going to come into play for entrepreneurs and people that really want to go and get it. Any time that I had free time, I was cold calling, I was making sales, so I was trying to set up meetings to sell more product. Now, when at the point we sold, we're doing anywhere from $900 to $1,400 a week. An average week for us is about $1,100. A good week for us, about $1,300. And there's times, you know, we tap that $1,400. When I'm tapping $1,400, I have everything in here full. There's not a spot left in this room. Mm-hmm. So at that point, you know, it becomes a situation of, okay, do we go ahead and put money down on a bigger place? Do we rent? Do we hire somebody? And I'm a numbers-based guy. So I ask myself in a lot of situations, what would I do if I was an affected person, right? What would I do if I was the client? So that's why I price my stuff the way I priced. That's why I do a lot of things I do. So I ask myself, what would I be okay coming in here and working and making? And to me, I justify giving, you know, a wage that's subpar for someone to come work, and then we don't have any money for the business to progress or expand anything like that. So I don't want to say we hit a stone wall, but we definitely hit a crossroads, and it was actually right at that point that we got confronted with an offer. So it was a good time, man. We took our offer and we did what we did with it, man. We upgraded a few things, hung out, you know, enjoyed the fruits of our labor.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. That's real good. I like that.
I think that speaks to like a testament to I think it speaks to a testament to like what kind of, you know what I mean, numbers guy you are. Like you said, the numbers are so important for you right now. And the fact that like a lot of people, they don't look at the numbers and income and things like that like you do. You've really broken this down.
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. And I see other growers on TikTok, and I don't, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, to each their own, but I see certain people, they don't weigh out like seed densities, how much seed you use on a, in a flat, and how much yield you're going to get out of that flat. Now, well, that's two correlating numbers that you need to know specifically how much money that tray just cost you and how much money you're going to make from that tray. So it's down, man. I don't say I have it down to science, right? Because don't nobody out of all three of us combined put together, we don't know everything still. Yeah. So there's certain things that I learn. I try to learn something new every day. But I feel like you have to have your numbers right for you to be successful in any type of business.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. How has this, changed your life for your family?
So my wife, she hasn't went back to work, and she don't, she doesn't have to. So she's just been hanging out with the kids, man, enjoying some time off. I wound up swapping jobs, and I signed a pretty good deal with my new job. So I want to make sure that I fulfill my end of the bargain out, and that way I could get, you know, the award for that contract. The and that's another reason that we sold too, because at that point, you know, I just swapped over jobs, and 3 months into my job, I signed a contract with these people. So I definitely want to pay more attention to meet my obligation here, because my job pays way more than I'll make out of a farm. Out of this farm, and out of this farm, I could probably produce close to anywhere from $40,000 to $60,000 in a year. So I want to make sure that I have my all my loose ends tied up. My kids are back in school. They're actually, it's almost summertime. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing vacations, you know, like this past Christmas, we went to Branson, Missouri. When we sold, we went to Florida. So we've just been hanging out, man. That's it. Just enjoying stuff, enjoying time, enjoying the fruits of our labor. Nothing really changed. You know, we still the same people. I push on my TikTok. I try to teach people. That's one thing that has changed. We've had, with the success of TikTok, we started a course. We've uploaded all our material on Discord, and I used to do one-on-one, right? But, there's not enough time in a day, especially when we crossed over 200 mentees doing one-on-one. Wow. Yeah, there was not enough time in a day. So we shifted things a little bit, made sure all my obligations were met with these, with the first batch. And we put everything up on Discord. And of course, we gave them free access to that Discord. That's what they paid for. And they still got my number, and I still talk with them. But I didn't want to take more time burden on. So that's one thing that's changed. Another thing that's changed is instead of microgreens commercially, we can't sell commercially with the NDA. I'm sorry, with the non-compete that we signed. So we sell starter kits as well. And that's really a good way for people to really put their hands in us. Like I said, you know, put their hands in the soil and see if it works. Cool thing about the starter kit, too, is you don't need no kind of fancy lights. It's not meant for a commercial build. It's literally meant for you just to grow and consume and maybe share with some friends and see if you like, you know, that concept of growing.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. I like you said, you had 200 mentees, man. You're changing people's lives and adding income. You know what I mean? Like when you say $60,000, like, yeah, this benefits me and my family. That's a year's salary to some
people. Yeah, salary to some people. Yep.
Yeah. And so you're helping cultivate this life-changing experience with tons of people, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, no doubt. And just to go over some numbers real quick of my mentees, we got a woman in Texas. She's just crossed over $1,400 a week. She just opened up a second location yesterday. And so it was a big day for her yesterday. We have another mentee now. Like, look, you know, results are varied, right? So we got another mentee that, he's doing $2,600 a month. We got another mentee doing $1,000 a month, and this is all part-time stuff, you know? So, if we're talking time management, I'm not spending more than 15 hours a week when we were, you know, making $1,400 a week. I'm not spending more than 15 hours a week here in the grow room. The bulk of that time is just waiting for the crop to do its thing and grow.
Man, that's awesome. So, That's awesome.
I like to spread the wealth piece of it. I like the fact that you found something, you're successful at it. You're like, you know what? Let me spread that wealth. Let me help other people build and you know, grow for their family. That's awesome right there. Cause not a lot of people do that. You know, not a lot of people do that. They'd be like, you'll see them on there. They'd be like, yeah, I learned this, I learned that. And don't share nothing. Don't, you know what I'm saying? So I like that. You know, you ain't got somebody like DMX telling you to stop being greedy. So you good.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And the cool thing, bro, is like I've been given a platform, and it's humbling. It really is. I've been given a platform. Like I said, we're 235,000 people deep in it now. And I bring them on cold calls. I show them where I'm selling at, how much I'm selling, how to plant. We got a free YouTube. You know, we got all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I show them what my labels look like, where to get their barcodes. So, I mean, I give all that information out. And there's sometimes I feel like I'm not doing enough. And mm-hmm. when I see, you know, my mentees that's crossing these milestones, you know, that's rewarding in itself. And what's even more rewarding is when people that don't contact me or don't join a Discord, they'll wait, you know, 2-3 months and say, hey, man, I just want to let you know I seen your content, you know, 2 weeks ago, and we got some trays growing right now. Or I seen your content, you know, 7 weeks ago. And this has actually happened. One guy said, you know, I crossed your channel 7 weeks ago. I'm making $1,000 a week now. I'm like, holy cow, bro. You know, that's what's up.
Yeah.
That shows initiative, you know, when people go out and get it. Like, I'll give it to you, absolutely. But when you go out and get it, that's just a totally different amount of drive, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, we appreciate you joining us for a little bit and taking some time out of your day. I'm sure we're going to keep in touch with you and probably reach out to you to come back on here sometime in the future. But, man, yeah, thanks for everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, real quick, talk to me a little bit about y'all podcast. How long y'all been doing this?
Yeah, so about us, and this is nice because we just came back from a little break. So we started off June 11th was our first episode.
Yeah.
Started off recording, and the goal was just to get information, man. We was going to try to build a platform, and we came up with this idea that, you know what I mean, we don't have all the answers as men. And so our goal is just to see if we can conversate amongst ourselves about topics and get not all the answers, but, you know, help ourselves grow. And it's been a journey, man. We have tackled some tough issues. Some of us, we didn't want to tackle and talk about and stuff like that. And I speak for Duke and all of us, man, has made us a better men and better fathers too. So then we bring people on, and we brought on a financial consultant not too long ago. We have her coming back, and yeah, man, it's been fun.
Cool deal, bro. I just kind of want to double down on what you said there about tackling tough issues. When you step outside of your comfort zone, that's where we as men really see significant growth.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh yeah, we know, man. It's been tough because we'll have conversations on the podcast. We're like, damn, I did not think about that. Let me realize that. And then we come back a couple episodes later, and then we'll be like, hey, remember that thing we talked about? And everything like that. You know, I made some changes back at the house, and things are starting to work out. And so it's been awesome. It's been awesome. We've all grown. Men as men, just both financially, emotionally, just, you know, as fathers and things like that. And so it's been cool to kind of see where we were just 9 months ago, and then now where we are now.
That's what's up, guys.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate y'all taking time out of the day and reaching out to me. I got this is my second podcast that I've been on, so that's pretty cool. And I got a third one coming up now. June 1st, man. Y'all ever heard of Nilay Patel?
Nilay Patel.
Yeah, he does the podcast over at The Verge.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so I got that one. And that's they've gotten some pretty cool, some high-profile people, man. So
yeah,
we're going to see what's up with that.
Well, man, good deal. Well, I'm excited for you moving forward, and keep on grinding, man. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Y'all too, guys. Y'all be safe, man.
All right.
All right, man.
Be good, Duke. Be good news.
All right. Thanks.
Yes, sir.
All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. Not too long ago, we had the lovely Bahia Shabazz on one of our episodes to talk to us about Brown Girls Do Invest. Brown Girls Do Invest is a nonprofit organization established to educate women to invest in stocks, real estate, and to acquire multiple lines of income while encouraging women to invest and build a diverse financial portfolio. Brown Girls Do Invest develops money management skills and positive behavior in middle school and high school children, as well as the working class woman, to improve opportunities to build that diverse portfolio. Brown Girls Do Invest offers a year-round education, community-based programs, educational meetings, financial literacy programs, and even a mentorship program. Definitely check out browngirlsdoinvest.com and also on their Twitter and Facebook at Brown Girls Do Invest for more information. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of the episode.
And we're back to the Real Dream Podcast, man. Going to the second segment of the day, man. We're just going to talk about Josh and what was going on, man, and the interview, man. How you feel about this guy, man?
Oh, I like him. I like him a lot. You know what I'm saying? I like anybody that's making money, that's going out there and doing their hustle. So, you know, and he sounds like I said during the interview, you know, he figured something out. And he's willing to share it with other people. That's what I like about him, too. You know, whenever you find something like that, why not help everybody else out? You know, you still got to, that person still got to take it upon themselves to put the work in. But you giving them the blueprint, and the blueprint is always going to help somebody, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what I appreciate about him the most, his willingness to share what he got and put other people on, whether you family or not.
Yeah, man. I think the fact that, like I said, over 200 people you build an income for, and, you know, you put food on the table, you changing lives, man, to just sit. And I don't know if you saw it when I mentioned it. I was like, you are changing lives, man. He kind of like took a like, ooh, that really means something to him. And I think that's awesome. He's genuine about it. And so I just... Mm-hmm. You don't get that a lot with people. You don't get that genuine a lot. And I like what he said. He mentioned about evolving his business, about how he's had to change and adapt. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you don't evolve, you die. And that's how it is with business and everything in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. You know, I mean, we've had to do that already in our lives. So yes, like you said, it's 100%. Any business will tell you have to evolve, because it don't matter who you are. You will die, or quote unquote go out of business. That's if you don't evolve to what the consumer wants and what the game plan. Just kind of sometimes that just happens based off of life situations, or, you know, unexpected things happening business wise. So,
yeah, man.
And for him to do this really during COVID too, that's another thing too. Like, you know, when everybody was having to sit home and complaining, or partying, whatever it was that you chose to do when you had to sit home during COVID, you know,
I was drinking.
He was like, you know what? Let me get these. Let me try this microgreens thing. You know, that's the thing that you know impressed me the most. While most people were like, oh yeah, we on an extended vacation and partying and drinking and, you know, shit like that. He was like, you know what? Let me see if I could pull in an extra $50,000 a year, you know, at a time where people were losing money or depending on a stimulus check. So to me, that was really impressive.
And the fact that he changed, like now he's at a point where like a school nurse can be like, hey, I'm going to take some time mm-hmm. off and run this business and be at home with my kids and only have to work, what, 15 some odd hours?
Yeah, 15 hours a week, he said. Yep.
That's just amazing, man. That's just amazing. Mm-hmm. I commend him. I mean, I do. Man, that now I want to go get the trays out, man. I want to get the weights and grow the seeds, man. Benagle Fagel.
Hold on. Was that the name? Was it Bagel Fagel? Bagel Finagle?
Let me go back.
Write it down.
Nah, because I keep forgetting it. Hold up.
Yep.
I'm going to pull up
Just pull up. Yeah, I was about to say pull up his. It's Bagel something. It was something weird. It had nothing to do with microgreens.
At Bagel Finagle on TikTok, Josh Shaver.
Jay Shave.
Yep. So, man, we appreciate him coming on, man. Definitely give him a follow on TikTok, YouTube channel, and everything like that. Guy's story is very inspirational. And so, all right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. Hey, everyone. We're excited to announce our partnership with Greenlight. Greenlight card. Yeah.
Hold on. I wrote a commercial. You want to hear it? Here you go. Greenlight. Because I use it, and they're paying me for it. Right. Cha-ching. Bam, baby. There you go.
And that's commercial. All right. Back to the show. And we're back to the Real Green Podcast. We're on to our third topic of the day.
On the next episode of Ratchet News. Me. Let's get ratchet, motherfuckers. We're back.
That was creepy as hell.
All right, what we got? What ratchetness we got going on now?
Yeah, ratchet news for today. I found out my husband was having an affair with our nanny thanks to a Disney ride photo.
There you go, motherfucking yep. Disney. Yep. Cock blocking like a motherfucker.
The mouse, man.
Well, they do call that shit the Magic Kingdom. There you go.
I don't know if they was talking about that kind of magic.
Hey, to each his own.
Man, we won't get into this. Hold up. Okay. So, a woman has revealed how a Disney ride souvenir photo exposed her husband's affair with the nanny. The mom of two, Natalie, shared an incriminating photo from the family's holiday to Florida on her TikTok.
Wow.
In the video, which has been viewed over 1.4 million times. She says, "We went to Disneyland in Orlando and took the nanny with us to help with the kids, not the husband. I was going through old photos and came across more than one where they were a little too close." Natalie then added a picture of her family and the nanny on the Splash Ride Mountain. Natalie and her daughter were seen seated in the front row while her husband, her former spouse, I mean, not say husband, and the nanny sat with one each other a row above, but it was the woman's body language that gave off their affair. The nanny was leaning too close to the husband, laying on his shoulder, and his arm was linked with hers, and Natalie was none the wiser. They on the same ride.
Wow.
They on the same ride.
At first, I was going to be like, she sure. I mean, just because they took a ride together or whatever, but nah, she, Yeah.
In the video, it was revealed, the mom revealed that the two later ran off together and had their own child.
Oh, wow.
He used to tell me, huh?
That sounded like they was in an entanglement. Oh. That's what it sounded like to me.
That's an entanglement. It is an entanglement. And for those of y'all who don't know, it's coming. I just want to warn y'all, okay? It's coming. It's coming, boy. Let me get back to it. See now I'm boiling. See? He used to tell me there was nothing I had to worry about, just gaslighting. Normal, typical gaslighting that goes on in a relationship, wondering what age my kids will be when they put two and two together and realize their father was having a baby with the nanny.
Wow. So that's crazy right there. Mm-hmm. That's going to be tough on the kids once they figure that out.
Yep. So, man. Tough. How you, like, you just, like, you forget the rides, take photos?
Like, you just, much so.
You just forget the rides?
They didn't care. They might have wanted her to see, you know?
I don't know, man. I just, the unnamed nanny, they not naming her. First of all, I want to go to Disneyland with somebody. Like, I want to go with someone's family. Like, so, I ain't going, now, Daily News is not a nanny. But I will watch your kids and I will not fuck your husband. So we good. I'm already better than the option that she had, right?
That's true. That's why y'all need to be fucking with no damn nannies either. Do that shit yourself.
Yep.
Figure it out.
I know, man. Gosh.
Figure it out.
Shit. to Natalie, I'm glad that you have realized the truth and that you are doing hopefully okay with this enough to post a video about it on TikTok.
And all I hear is spousal support.
Right? I know.
Alimony. Child support. You got it.
That's it.
You got them all.
Yeah. Yep. Look, man, I'm taking a house. I'm taking a car. Mm-hmm. I hope that Magic Kingdom ride was a good ride. Shit. I'm taking it all. So, and here's the thing. Here's the kicker. I'm going to give the nanny a bad review because I'm petty at that. I'll be on Yelp. Be like, one out of five would not recommend. All that. Shit. Damn, gosh, oh man. So look, man, took a while, took a break, got refreshed. We're back at it. I appreciate all the fans and their support. Yeah, this is our first episode back, season 3 of the Real Dream Podcast, but not the last, man. To Duke and everyone else that's listening, I love you guys.
Love you too, man.
Yeah. Anything you gotta say?
You already know what I'm gonna say.
You gotta say it.
Sometimes you gotta be a motherfucker and take a motherfucker and hit a motherfucker with another motherfucker. Motherfuckers.
Before we cut off, do you know how much motherfucker has been incorporated into Black culture? I didn't realize this.
Damn right, yeah.
I didn't realize this until I saw a clip. How much we say motherfucker.
That's right.
Damn.
That's a good motherfucking curse word.
It is. When
motherfucker say motherfucker, you're like, oh shit. Let me listen to what he got to say. Just how it is. Just how it is.
Just randomly be just shouting shit. I'm tired of this motherfucking bread being exactly. Toasted.
Whenever you hear somebody say that shit, you pay attention. You're like, hold on. Wait a minute. What did he just say? What she just say? Because you want to know. That word grabs you.
Yeah. Remember snakes on a plane?
Mm-hmm.
Having snakes on a plane might be one of the dumbest plot points for a movie. Like, that's the scary shit. But it was, I'm tired of these motherfucking snakes on the motherfucking plane.
Exactly. Like,
cool. Bet.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Samuel Jackson. Way to make us whole again with your motherfuckers. So, all right, man. Listen, I wish you and everyone listening nothing but success and happiness, and keep dreaming. Y'all take care.